Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for former ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran after his unacceptable comments on the Fifth Column podcast. Now, I want you to be warned that the following audio clip does contain a reference to him who shall not be named. If you want to put on your noise-dampening earmuffs at this point, I will understand. If you do not have your own pair of sensory headphones, a set can be found in the pouch on the back of the pew in front of you. Okay, everybody brace for it. Here goes.
Is ABC News a liberal institution?
Yes, but I think like a lot of mainstream media, it's because of lack of viewpoint diversity. That was one of the problems in covering Trump. Nobody had voted for him.
Now, trust me, I know that was hard to hear that name, even in passing. But I think you'll agree that every once in a while, we need to just let ourselves be reminded of the trauma endured daily by our fellow citizens who have to actually hear that name without ear protection. First of all, to openly admit that ABC News is liberal is terrible because it abandons the pretense we've had all these decades that news organizations are neutral and objective, even while we actively work behind the scenes to ensure that journalism schools only produce people who are true wokeites, so that when they apply for jobs at any network or newspaper, it's an echo, not a choice. But then to go even farther and admit that all news organizations tend to be like this, and to even use that horrid term so cherished by anti-progressives, mainstream media, blasphemy. Second, he says the problem with news bias is the lack of viewpoint diversity. How dare he? ABC News hires men, women, trans, black, white, brown, Asian, able, disabled, left-handed people, even redheads. Every demographic you can imagine. The fact that none of them voted for the unnameable one doesn't matter. How can anyone be trusted to report the news who would vote like half of the country? Do you really think we're going to let information gatekeeping organizations hire President Bleep supporters for on-air roles? Come on.
Because I sent out these, hey, we should be fair to internal emails, I heard from people, engineers, maybe the occasional producer, who said, thank you, yeah, attaboy.
Now, the fact that even staff other than on-air talent and producers would be hired if they were Bleep supporters concerns me, but at least they aren't being given any real positions of power. And then for Moran to turn around and somehow blame his own industry for failing to focus on the important things about President, well, it's just disgusting.
It's odd because I thought they focused on the show in the first term, ABC and a lot of mainstream media, and trivia, right? And didn't take a look at what was actually happening with the government under his leadership.
Outrageous. So for failing to preserve the great secret that news organizations are heavily biased towards liberalism, for accepting the anti-progressive terminology of mainstream media and diversity of viewpoint rather than demographics, and for blaming our people for failing to properly report on the substance of this administration, Terry Moran, we hereby cast thee out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, we want to genuinely celebrate the University of Michigan for its wonderfully compassionate decision to do away with letter grades for first semester freshmen. So instead of grades of the traditional A, B, C, D, F variety, freshman courses will simply be pass or no credit for the students in the College of Liberal Arts, Literature, Science, and the Arts, which is about half the 8,000 incoming freshmen. As the school explained, this is being done in an effort to curb the mental health crisis unfolding among college-age individuals. This will help students, quote, acclimate to the demands of college and allow intrinsic motivations to guide personally meaningful academic journeys. One interesting note is that freshmen will start to be given letter grades for their will still be given letter grades for their coursework, but professors will not tell them what those grades are. These are just going to be kept internally for tracking purposes and for eligibility for scholarships and academic awards. This practice called grade covering is already in use at MIT and the California Institute of Technology. We love this plan. It's deliberate emphasis on reducing the pain and stress of college grades so that these young people can simply enjoy learning for the sake of learning and not worry about the results. We can't think of a better way to prepare them for the real world. Moreover, We celebrate the kindness of catering to their mental fragility, since decades of permissive parenting and participation trophies have convinced us that refusing to correct children, building their self-esteem regardless of whether they deserve it, and not holding them accountable for their results is the kindest, gentlest way to bring out the best in them. Nothing builds strength of character like being told you're too weak to endure building strength of character. But we are concerned this plan doesn't go far enough. If freshmen should be spared the suffering of grades, why not sophomores, juniors, and seniors? Why can't all courses simply be pass or no credit? Not only would that de-stress higher education for all the snowflakes of this generation, but it would eliminate the problem of grade inflation entirely. If nobody can earn A's, then there's no need to pretend everyone is an A student. But going farther, perhaps when tests are returned, the questions should not even be scored correct or incorrect. The stress of seeing your answers invalidated is hurtful and only leads students to think they aren't already wonderfully well-educated. Corrective marks on papers should also be eliminated, since having your ideas edited, challenged, or refuted is at least as psychologically damaging as being given anything other than an A-plus grade. Perhaps student athletes can also benefit from this stress on de-stressing college life. Maybe freshman athletes shouldn't be called for fouls in basketball. Perhaps any shots that just hit the rim should count, like basketball's version of treating a D performance the same as an A. Maybe baseball players shouldn't be called for strikeouts, allowing them to take as many pitches as they need to feel comfortable swinging the bat. Maybe it's a lot less anxiety this way, and we definitely shouldn't be scoring their misguided fielding efforts as errors. Everybody tries hard, don't they? And in football, maybe we should stop keeping score so that everyone can win all the time and not feel the stress of losing as an athlete or as a fan. Of course, the Michigan marching band will have to stop playing Hail to the Victors, since we won't know who the victors are anymore. No grades, no corrections, no points, no strikeouts, and no winners and losers. Yes, this seems like the very best way to make the most capable, successful class of Wolverines the nation has ever seen. Hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders and the no better than anybody else. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's hand-painted acacia wood Kalimba of Justice, 14 recycled aluminum tassels, goes to Arizona State University for its recent foray into modern communications by offering a degree program in content creation. Yes, the curriculum will feature electives in podcasting, studio production, and on-camera presence. Most obviously, we love this because it's part of the mass exodus from traditional news and journalism, and even though we've long been in control of print and broadcast, with the frustrating exception of talk radio, we've seen that a new wave is coming. In the modern era, the proliferation of sources of information reinforces our long-term goal of getting people to abandon their belief in truth and objectivity, to lose confidence in the so-called reliable sources of information, and to basically adopt a kind of despair that truth can even exist, let alone be known. The more, the murkier, we always say. As long as nobody knows anything, nobody can be persuaded of anything, and we'll be free to establish the Ministry of Truth, where government speech is either the only reliable source, or perhaps there isn't even a reliable source. Why bother changing the truth if nobody even believes there is one? Am I right? See, you might think we'd oppose content creatorship and the social media phenomenon and the major study program because our movement has depended on information gatekeeping by bringing as many people into the universities and then indoctrinating them for several years with all of our ideas. After all, it takes a long time to undo the teachings of family, religion, and nation so that graduates can be reprogrammed to support our democratic socialist ideas and then set loose to spread the gospel of wokeness on others. And of course, the college campus is a fantastic re-education camp where we control 90% of the teachers and curriculum and where students live a largely communistic life of free love subsidized by the state and their unsuspecting bourgeoisie parents. But what happens when people skip right to social media influencing without proper grounding in our beliefs? The good news is that the mere proliferation of influencers is helping to us because it is rapidly degrading the ability of people to think deeply, carry on sustained conversations, and really understand the world. Meaning we're actually seeing before our very eyes the formation of the dictatorship of the proletariat. TikTok challenges prove how stupid social media users are becoming, and the crippling fear of being found cringe is a fantastic piece of evidence that peer pressure is stifling all sorts of independent thought among young people. Social media is dumbing down our population far more effectively than any classic system of government indoctrination ever could. And once people are reduced to quivering blobs of human-shaped jelly, somewhat like the prophetically inarticulate future citizens of that movie Idiocracy, they will be quivering jelly in our hands, easily led and molded into whatever shape we, their leaders, need. We've won the war without winning any actual battles. So well done, ASU, for continuing to erode the very idea of truth and for doing it within the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism is indeed a most delicious bit of irony. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.